Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, Prep Nation? This is the director of IL Preps, Dan Kaplan, tuning in for our first episode of the 2024 season. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope everyone is eager to dive in to our interviews here, and we have a great episode on tap, so I am excited to let this thing go live. But before we do, before we dive into those interviews, or maybe actually while you are sitting here and listening, go ahead and head to the InsideLacrosse.com homepage where you will find plenty of high school content. Dig into the Q Collar National High School Top 25, dig into the regional rankings, which have already been put to the test a bit in the South and out West, and then be sure to check out our first game coverage of the season as we had some coverage of the Culver victory over Highland Park. Action has yet to kick off here for Torrey Pines or Haverford School, but we have two awesome conversations that are both insightful and really entertaining. Coach Dawson gives us some insight on the fit at Haverford, some details on the 2023 season, and we'll dive in on plenty of the noteworthy talent that exists on their 2024 roster. But before we get to Coach Dawson and the Haverford School, we will start on the West Coast with Coach Zissi and the Torrey Pines program, where we get a lot of the same similar insight to, you know, how preseason's going, how last year unfolded and some of the turning points, some of the culture that exists within the Torrey Pines program that he, wanted to instill. And so, like I said, two really fun, insightful conversations here that will make for a great episode. If you like what you hear, please send it to a friend, pass it along, help spread the word. We really appreciate everybody for tuning in. So with all that said, let's dive into our first interview, head coach of the Torrey Pines Lacrosse program, John Ozissi. All right, and the IL Preps podcast is thrilled to have on head coach of the Torrey Pines lacrosse program, head coach John Ozissi, who took over in 2011, is a graduate alum and former coach at Tufts, where he won a national championship. He is now approaching year 12 with the Torrey Pines program. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me. And just to correct you, this is actually my 14th year. I am getting older and older, man. So, yeah.
It's 14. They keep adding up. I feel like at some point they need to just like hang out once you get to a certain number and you just reach tier A of program prestige and coach prestige. But we are thrilled to have you on. At this point, we are still preseason, but the guys are organized. We are getting out, getting some practice in. How do you feel about, preseason and the current stage of where you guys are?
Yeah, I think it's we start early out here. We're in our second week of practice. Team has been selected, captain's chosen, and we're grinding. Like I said earlier, off the air, this is my favorite time of year. Just get to be with my high school team, build a program, build that camaraderie. I'm in San Diego for 4 months straight, which is really nice to just be on a routine and not be traveling all over the country to tournaments. So high school in spring is my favorite time of year.
Absolutely. And for us, like between Inside Lacrosse and John Ozissi as a human, I feel like most of the interaction is always around West Coast Stars, which, you know, we will get into and talk a little bit about. But I'm really excited to keep this conversation on Torrey Pines a bit, on, like you said, your roster, what you guys are going to be doing this spring. Last year was obviously a really fun season, one that had some highs and one that had a series of lows. And I think that actually is exactly where I kind of want to start. Sure. And so as you kind of look back on last year, there was, you know, the 3-game skid in March that then set the table for you guys to go on that tremendous run from there. Do you feel like that was, you know, was there like a purposeful turning point in that? Or was that just kind of like a series of games that you guys were able to take some lessons from and then move forward from?
Yeah, I think one of the hallmarks of our program is scheduling the strongest strength of schedule west of the Mississippi. And, you know, between us and St. Ignatius, I think the two of us are far ahead of everybody else with who we're playing. And for us, really, aside from a couple mandated league games, you know, we're playing the best teams from all over the West and the East Coast. Traditionally, we've beaten teams from 9 different states, Garden City, Deerfield Academy, Lawrenceville. I mean, it's, you know, Ridgefield, Connecticut. We've played with the big boys, and that's part of our credo. And along the way, there's going to be some bumps and some challenging games. And I think we lost 3 games in a row by 1 goal each. And, you know, you learn a lot from failures, obviously, as cliche as it is. And, you know, those 3 games kind of set us up for the rest of the season to be successful. And then we went on a torrid run down the stretch, you know, beat an undefeated Highland Park team, which I think that game was really the turning point in our season. They ended up being 24-1 and winning the Texas State Championship. And from then on, we just sort of had a different confidence and way about ourselves. But out here, it's, you know, we have strong teams every year and we graduate a lot of kids every year. So there's always a period of time where new guys who are certainly talented are getting their first taste of real varsity experience. And with that comes a steep learning curve. And I think you saw in those, you know, 1 goal losses, you know, we just didn't make enough plays with some of our younger, newer guys who eventually figured it out.
And to kind of just continue on that point, doing a little research, I came across an article of your 200th win. And in that article, they talk about, they credit you with changing the culture of Torrey Pines program and kind of reinventing what that meant. What does that mean to you, both in terms of like being credited with changing that, and what do you kind of like want that culture to kind of embody?
Yeah, you know, I had taken over Torrey Pines after, you know, 7 other years of coaching high school lacrosse. So I had a lot of experience, and then I had just come off of my 1-year run at Tufts, which I sort of refer to as my internship year. I learned so much from Coach Daly and you know, obviously coaching at the collegiate level and Division III, it's all hands on deck. I was doing a bit of everything, recruiting, offensive coordinator, going to BJ's and getting the food for the bus, like scheduling hotels. You're doing everything. And, you know, I was ready to kind of build a program more than just be a lacrosse coach at that point, if that makes sense. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Torrey Pines is, you know, it's a giant high school and they're really the best at every sport. Everywhere you look around that campus, each team is really the best in their particular field. The coaches are all elite. It's a great place to work and a great community to be around. And the lacrosse piece, they'd always been talented, but they were kind of missing the discipline and the, you know, the community appeal. And we spent a lot of time doing work in the community, whether it's both community service or just with our youth programs or even on campus, to kind of, you know, build that program and create, you know, the full person rather than just a lacrosse player. And I spent a lot of time on that. And, you know, I think it's why we've been so successful, to be quite honest, because the school's always had talent. And I think what got it over the hump was just focusing on the small things.
Of course. And you mentioned St. Ignatius, another team just in the area that, you know, you guys have had some battles with and is always perennially known, ranked, so on and so forth. You guys and St. Ignatius came in 1st and 2nd in our recent regional polls. Once again, they're on the schedule. And this year, it's a back-to-back. You have a little bit of the Mustang Classic vibe going on the 14th and 15th, which is pretty cool to see. But when you look at that team and that program, what are some things and guys that kind of stick out and specifically that you'll have to deal with for this season?
Yeah, I think at Torrey, we're fortunate to have 2 of the strongest rivalries in, honestly, the country. The Torrey Pines Lacosta Canyon rivalry across every sport is really unique and really special, and it's hard to sort of recreate something like that inorganically. And so that game will always be unbelievable for us regardless of the year. And then without an actual state championship in California, because of the way sort of CIF is delineated, we've always sort of referred to this SI game as the unofficial state championship. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Packard, and all of those kids play West Coast Stars with me. So we're very familiar with one another. The kids are all friends, but when that game happens, it's all business. And I think if you trace back the lineage since 2011, when I took over, you know, we've played them every year except one. I think every game has been a 1 or 2 goal game. And I think maybe we've won 7, they've won 5 or 6, but it's, you know, it's really a wonderful rivalry, and the places always packed, whether it's up there or down here, just to gain people in the West, you know, want to come see, you know, 2 of the founding fathers. And this year will be absolutely no shortage of great players on that field. They've got a slew of guys committed. They've got a slew of young guys that are going to be great. And you're right. We play St. Paul's from Maryland that Thursday. We play them Friday, and then they're playing St. Paul's Saturday. So that's going to be a great weekend of lacrosse for anybody in San Diego to come check out.
Yeah, that is definitely one that even if I, you know, I will be, like I said, Mustang Classic. So I will be locked in on your guys with RIT on that night, Friday night. But that is certainly one in the San Diego area. If you are around, you're going to have to be able to make some moves to get out there and go see. But to kind of keep this moving, you mentioned one thing that I also wanted to double back on, and that's just some young talent and some younger guys in the pipeline. For us, one guy that our staff has seen is Ross Jacobson. We think that he's a guy that as he continues to kind of make name for himself and see some of the top talent, whether it's, you know, in the spring or the summer circuit, that's going to continue to kind of make a name for himself. Do you have any expectations from him, or when you see him, what kind of sticks out about his game?
Yeah, I mean, Ross sort of embodies a lot of what our program stands for, which is just like that kid has a relentless work ethic and he's a complete lax rat. And that's, you know, kind of the culture that we breed is all about extras and, you know, doing more than what's expected. And so Ross has willed himself to become a great player, rep after rep. And he fits nicely. He does a lot of things well, can play off the ball, can play in the crease. You know, when he plays against older kids, he becomes more of an off-ball threat. When he plays against his own age, he's certainly a dodging threat. But the pillar of our team this year, probably the least amount of depth we've had in my 14 years, but we have tremendous senior leadership, and we've got 7 seniors going to play Division I lacrosse. So ultimately, those guys are going to be what make or break our program and our team this year. And, you know, guys like Ross will be great complementary younger players, I think, if I sort of look at a big picture right now.
And then to completely shift gears away from the young guys into some of the older guys that are actually no longer in the Torrey Pines program, but alums, you know, there's a laundry list of guys, but one that I have to bring up, the Tufts connection and then his surgence into, you know, the spotlight this year at Syracuse. What's it been like to watch Mason Cone's just kind of trajectory? And, you know, he's had such an interesting career with some of the COVID instances and stuff like that that impact everybody, but specifically his timeline as well. What's it mean to be able to kind of watch him continue to grow and be in a spotlight right now?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, Mason's story is so unique and interesting. You could probably do like a 30 for 30 on him. But, you know, it's special. I mean, Mason obviously is a Torrey Pines guy and a Tufts guy, which obviously warms my heart. And, you know, the guy just is built different. And I don't even mean that just physically. Like he walks into a room and his presence is immediately felt. He's a natural born leader. He's got into UCLA Law School. He's smart as a whip, graduated Tufts with honors on top of being a 2-sport athlete, sort of a rare human being and just a foxhole kind of guy. So his success just because of his mental toughness isn't surprising to me. But it's been really fun to watch. And I think, you know, at the moment we've got 34 alums playing in some sort of collegiate situation from MCLA to Division I. And, you know, it's something that we're proud of and hang our hats on in some regard. So.
Absolutely. And like I said, you mentioned 34. I said laundry list. I'm glad you had the actual data for us. But yeah, just so many guys that we could go into. But he was one that I felt like between the connections with Tufts and Syracuse and the current spotlight. And you mentioned his future plans was just one guy that was specifically was, you know, worth kind of diving into a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been fun to see his success. I'm not going to say that I don't get nervous every time he goes out there because the Syracuse face-off situation, there's a lot of pressure on that from the community that really, really values their team and their sport. So I hope he continues his trajectory because it's been great so far.
Absolutely. Certainly 2 fans here on this current podcast. And another guy that shifting back to your current team that also has quite the incredible story. And this was one that, you know, I wish in the moment we were able to get some more national spotlight on, but that's Rylan Roach and just his story. And for those who don't know, I can't give it justice, but he underwent a brain surgery operation that, you know, was really just intrusive and really, really hard and had a long road to recovery and all of the types of things that an open brain surgery would have. Can you just tell a little bit about the story and give it a little more justice than I'm able to?
Yeah, I mean, the quick version is, you know, Ryan had gotten into a sort of a small car accident, bender, and was having some serious pain in his neck, thought he had had whiplash. Every time he sort of shot, that torque was, you know, it was like excruciating pain at times, had to come out of games. and then started doing, the season ended, this was sophomore year, started playing some club in June, and then it just got worse. He went to get an MRI and a CAT scan, and basically they found that he, could have gotten paralysis and could have been paralyzed. He had like an impingement growth, between his neck and his brain, and they literally had to do, brain surgery and open up his skull. And I think it was something so rare that he flew all the way to Duke to a specialist that specializes in what exactly this was. And he was in the hospital for 3 weeks. They told him he'd never play sports again. So to see Ryan not only come back, but he came back at the end. He missed about 9 months, came back at the end of our season, had 4 goals in our semifinal game, and was the catalyst and why we ended up winning, and had a great summer. He's committed to UMass now. And because he missed that year, he's going to take a postgraduate year at Western Reserve just to make up for lost time. But, the story really is kind of crazy, and it's really heartwarming, and he's lucky he's where he's at. They told him for sure that no sports ever again at one point in time. So, which was pretty demoralizing for a kid that age, as you can imagine, whose whole lacrosse identity is built largely around, lacrosse.
Yeah, and the story as I came across it, I'm reading it and I was just in awe at, like you said, the level of, just it was such a, fine line between something so, so serious and then in a very, negative way that now is such a positive thing. And I would imagine it's something that your team is able to draw a little bit of passion from on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, my goal every day is less about coaching lacrosse and more about realizing, showing these kids that there's, a world out there much larger than themselves. And, seeing Ryland's story, makes you grateful. And, it's impossible to be grateful and happy at the same time. And things like Ryland's story are constant reminders of how lucky we are to, play this sport, be at Torrey Pines, be in this program, be healthy. And Ryland's a captain for us this year, which is great. It's come full circle. He's going to now lead the team. And I couldn't think of a better guy to lead us into battle.
Absolutely. And really is just an incredible story. And, was one of the things that as I was preparing here, I was like, I absolutely need to hit. I didn't want to hit it first thing because I didn't want, the emotions to drag us too far. But it's certainly, something that is just a remarkable story and that it deserves a ton of attention.
I agree.
And to kind of just keep us shifting and keep us moving here, you've mentioned a lot of, really talented guys. High school lacrosse for me is so much about, the rivalries and the camaraderie, right? And we'll still get into some of the more, top end talent guys that you have going to play Division I lacrosse. But who's maybe a guy that, won't have the same type of notoriety in terms of, IL preps and the recruiting aspect of inside lacrosse, but is still an instrumental piece to Torrey Pines as a lacrosse team this season?
I think, again, one of the hallmarks of our program have been always having strong face-off guys and goalies and having elite defensive midfielders. And we've got two elite short stick D-middies this year. They're both committed, so it's not like they're not known, but they don't get as much credit as they deserve. And one of them is Joey Levenberg, a junior going to Hopkins, and one of them is a senior, S.J. Dornwend, who's going to Monmouth. And, our program every year has had, I think, arguably the best D-middies in the West, and this year is no exception. And, the way the game's evolving, everyone's inverting or dodging short sticks, and, it's been a huge part, a cornerstone of our success, and those two guys are going to be huge for us.
And those guys are both on the defensive side of the ball. I think if I were to Madden rating your team, the highest rated player on the team would be in goal. And Andrew Cook had it to Hop. What's he bring to the table for your team for that defense? And what do you expect out of him for 2024?
Yeah, I think, as well as anybody, having a good goal, it gives your defense a different sense of confidence to play a little bit looser and more aggressive, knowing that they have a confident guy that there's going to sort of save the ball. Andrew's a four-year starter. He's won 3 championships. He knows how to win, which we spoke about earlier off air. And, there's just a sense of calm having a goalie that can be a vocal leader, save the ball, help you in the clear. And, kids are kids. They know everything about everything. And I think it's in the heads of other shooters. Oh gosh, Andrew Cook's in goal. And I think that plays into their psyche a little bit, and gives us an advantage. So having Andrew in the goal and having a strong faceoff guy, I think will be in every game. Certainly gives you a chance for sure.
Absolutely. And so faceoff guys, goalie play, short stick D-mids, Torrey Pines specialty programs, positions on the rise here. Definitely a spot to look out for. And then offensively, there's lots of guys that you can kind of point and look at. One that sticks out to me is Matthew Mannarino going to Rutgers. I guess the same question. What do you expect out of him for 2024? And what have you seen so far in preseason?
Yeah, Matthew Mannarino is a superb athlete. Probably will be a defensive midfielder at the next level, but elite athlete, really fast, great speed dodger, you know, tough, does a lot of things, Swiss Army knife. I mean, he'll be a key cog. He's also one of our captains. And then, you know, John Pryor is probably, you know, our other guy on offense who can ambidextrous, shoots it really well with both hands, can play attack or midi. He's going to Army, you know, just reeks of toughness and discipline, and also a captain and a guy that, you know, will be sort of looked upon to run the offense for us.
And he was exactly on my next guy to hit. And my actual question, you already kind of answered, but I'll ask it anyways. When you think of Army midfielders, you think of, you know, toughness, you think of athletes, you think of explosiveness, you think of guys that are, you know, not afraid to get their nose dirty and dodge with physicality, or, you know, defend with physicality or pick up a ground ball. How does he kind of fit, you know, that stereotype of when you think about Army midfielders? Does John kind of fit that vibe?
Yeah, John is just sort of like, you know, the kid you want your daughter to date, the son you wish you had. I mean, he's built for it. He wanted it. He was overlooked by a lot of programs. He was getting recruited by everybody, but everyone at the last second kind of said, ah, he's a little small. And, you know, I knew all along he has the it factor. And like I said, he shoots it in the high 90s with both hands. And, you know, he's ASB president, he's class president, he's literally like a perfect leader. Army's getting, you know, the kind of guys that Army wants to get, which is, you know, future leaders of our country. And, you know, with guys like John protecting us, I feel good about that. So
yes, definitely fits the vibe of what we think about for those Army midfielders. That sounds like a perfect kind of fit there. And so we will start to wrap a little bit here, but I do have a couple more questions here. One, I think that is just kind of a general like sports question that in theory I could ask every single head coach of every program everywhere, which is another thing that like high school lacrosse is so unique for, is that like your challenge is the same as thousands of other challenges, except, you know, there's some of them where they're working with rosters of, you know, 12 guys, 13 guys, they're trying to get people out. But at its core, you know, one thing that it all comes back to is balancing that level of like lessons and like player and lessons in like life development versus like player development. Where do you kind of fall on like, as a philosophy of how, if you can pick throughout the course of the season, like, yeah, we're going to be awesome on the lacrosse field, or we're going to be getting better as people. You know, where do you kind of fall on that philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an educator at heart. I taught for 8 years. And so now, you know, the lacrosse field is my classroom. But, you know, I live in this community. I've been, you know, coaching not only Torrey, but the Bishop School before that. So I've lived here for 20 years now. I'm still very close with a lot of the families of alums. I've been in a bunch of weddings. I stay, you know, so the whole person is what I'm about. And, you know, like I said, living in this community and keeping up with all of the alums, and that's why I do what I do. And so I like lacrosse, but it's really just the vehicle for me to sort of help mold young minds and create these relationships that last forever. So, you know, I'll probably be living in this community, you know, till the day I die, and still doing my thing at Torrey, and I'm okay with that. And I really enjoy what I do. So I sort of feel fortunate. I don't know that everybody, you know, loves what they do in this life. So
certainly, and not asking you to give us any, you know, Coach Conroy hot takes or anything that your opponents are going to be able to use against you for the entire rest of the season. But as you kind of come back and look at this upcoming season, what are you hoping to see and some expectations out of, you know, the winning side of things for Torrey Pines?
Yeah, you know, people circle Torrey Pines on their calendar. It is what it is. Everyone's going to give us their best game. In order to make this hard schedule, we've got a lot of back-to-back games just to fit it all in. And so there'll certainly be challenges along the way. gosh, I wouldn't even know who to pick first. I mean, we have so many difficult opponents that I have such great respect for. So we'll start with Coronado next week, and then, you know, turn the corner and St. Ignatius is here. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be playing all the Orange County teams that are, have really evolved in the last, you know, 5 years. So we've got our work cut out for us. I'm optimistic that if we just do what we've been doing for years and continue to function the way I need us to function, we'll be okay. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you that.
It never is. And every season also has its own individual, unique set of challenges that, quite frankly, even with the crystal ball, you wouldn't be able to see. So, you know, it is exactly what, you know, the challenge is kind of managing those as they come in and making the best out of it. And like you said, I like that quote. I'm going to have to use it from time to time, of lacrosse is the vehicle to molding minds. So, like I said, really appreciate you coming on. Really appreciate all your insight and knowledge on the Torrey Pines program. This was an awesome interview. I really appreciate everything that you were able to give us here today.
Yeah, you guys are the best. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much.
IL Preps Podcast. We have the head coach of the Haverford lacrosse program, Brendan Dawson. Coach Dawson, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for taking the time. I know it is quite the busy stage. Everybody is scrambling to make sure that their team is ready to put the right foot forward on their debut. You guys are still in preseason mode. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen so far and some of the team's expectations for this year.
Yeah, we're just coming off with 3 days of tryouts. So we started last Friday and the 23rd, and just kind of are be getting started here. So I think it's from our perspective and from our coach's perspective, it's been awesome energy so far. We have a really good group of guys that is into it, cares about the program, cares about each other, and just fired up to see them kind of grow and develop together.
And you mentioned caring about the program. Obviously, Haverford wasn't step one for you. You've been a few different spots, a graduate of the Salisbury program, coached at Dickinson, head coach at Widener, a few other stops along the way. What do you think kind of brought you to Haverford in the first place and kind of made for it to be, you know, a good fit for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I grew up around this area, and so, you know, growing up, and I did not go to Haverford school, but I went to a local public high school and just knew Haverford from being a lacrosse player in this area. Just obviously a tremendous amount of respect for the program, but also just knowing how many good players were coming through and out of here. It was kind of remarkable. And so, you know, yeah, I've been the previous probably 12 years, 15 years of my career, I was coaching college lacrosse, and just an opportunity arose here, and just kind of happenstance, really knew a couple of people that, as the timing of Coach Nostrand stepping away, happened to, you know, connect with some people and him, and it was just the opportunity was awesome for a number of reasons. One, it's an awesome place to work. It's a great community. It's a great school. And so it's just that those are obviously great things. And then from a career lacrosse standpoint, right? Like, it's just a, you know, like I mentioned before, the program kind of speaks for itself and what Coach Nostrand built here. And even previous to that, the alums, you know, before even when Coach Nostrand was here, like it's just a really proud history of lacrosse. And so just to be a part of that is an honor, and it's unique and it's special, and it's pretty cool. So I also have I have three kids, two of them are boys. And so, you know, this is an all boys school. So it gave them an opportunity to come here and have an awesome experience themselves. So a lot of coming here was just like stars aligning, but also just a lot of the right opportunity at the right time.
Certainly. And I feel like, you know, so much of every life opportunity has at least a little bit of that type of an element. And certainly seems like it was one where the path of those stars kind of led both back home and to a great opportunity.
Definitely, for sure.
And so you mentioned the program, you mentioned coaches, and, you know, one thing that is great is to get alums back. And this is, you know, you can apply this anywhere. Every program is always happy to have alums back in the system coaching and, you know, giving back to the guys in a way.
One of the guys on your staff, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is Grant Ament. Is he still on staff this year?
Yeah, correct. Yep. This is his third year back. Yep.
Perfect. All right. So with that and him being officially 100% confirmed back in the mix, what do you think he's kind of brought to the table here for your guys? And, you know, do they enjoy working with him kind of on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, Grant's awesome. Obviously, like, he's an alum and he knows this place, and he has a ton of perspective for our current players about like what it means to be a Haverford School lacrosse player, and it's a great reminder for them to hear from Grant daily, right? Just about, you know, we just went through 3 days of tryouts, and you know, there's kids that are, hey, I want to make the varsity team, and Grant reminds them pretty frequently that as a freshman he played on the JV team and was a second line midfielder. And so, you know, I think it speaks to like the history and the strength of the program that a guy like that it wasn't easy for him. And so, you know, he's there for the guys when it's not easy for them, which is really cool. And so, you know, he has that connection of going through it himself, obviously as a player. Like he's, you know, the kids obviously have a tremendous amount of respect for what he does on the field, and he's got a lot of street cred, so to speak, more so than me as a 42-year-old guy. So, which is great. You know, for them to just connect with him, and he's kind of in their shoes in a lot of ways, you know, and, you know, out there playing and trying to, you know, prove himself, and it just did obviously at a different level. So, but it's a great, he's been awesome to have back. He's a super, you know, lacrosse mind. He knows the game. He's a great coach, and he's really relational with the boys. So we're lucky to have him.
What's his coaching style? Is he more of a Coach Haas kind of intellectual, love you up and teach you, or is he more of the Coach Tambroni disciplinarian type?
he's a little bit of both, I'd say. I mean, he's got a great relationship with the kids and the boys, and so like the one, you know, I would say he's a relational guy, and you know, he just reminds the guys constantly. And our whole staff constantly like, hey, this is fun, and let's have fun with it. It's a game, and just kind of keeps things light. So that's great. But at the same time, like it, you know, he will hold the guys accountable when they need to be held accountable. But it's just we're lucky to have him.
Certainly. And so to kind of zoom in, and we'll zoom in extra on this 2024 team. But before we totally dive in onto that group and this squad, and you know, the challenges that are ahead, I want to quickly backtrack and look at the 2023 season that was certainly a season that had lots of highs, including a 14 game win streak and some, you know, really quality wins and some tight games. Of those, you had OT games and one goal wins over Malvern, Episcopal, Georgetown Prep, and St. Anthony's. I'm one of the people that believes that winning tight games is kind of a trait that you kind of have to learn, that clearly your team demonstrated in those moments. What do you kind of take from winning those types of games in terms of like the program moving forward, and also like for this team specifically to be able to draw some confidence from?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like in those games, like it's easy to look back at last year and say, like, hey, that was great success in a lot of, you know, the whatever streak you mentioned there. It was fun to be a part of that, but you're also a bounce or two away from having some losses. And I think it's kind of that. It's keeping it in perspective for the boys that, like, hey, like, you know, as great as this is, like, it's one or two things away from not being as great as it looks. And so I just think that's a tremendous thing that we try to remind them of a lot, that, like, hey, look, like, you're be about the process, right? The outcomes will take care of themselves if you just really pay close attention to, you know, getting better every day and focusing on what is right in front of us. And all those little coaching cliches that people use, right? They say them a lot because they're true. And I just really believe in that stuff, that if we can focus on the process of becoming better and with a goal of like competing at our highest level, and being the best that we can become, I just think that gives us a chance in any game, honestly. And so, you know, I guess like to answer the part about like last year compared to this year, I think that should give us, I hope, some confidence and some expectation and some like, hey, like, you know, we should feel a little bit of, I don't want to say pressure, but like, hey, like, let's try to replicate that. Like, that was fun and exciting, and let's try to do that again. And that's the goal here every single year, is to try to be, you know, the most nationally competitive we can be and win our league. And so, you know, we're going to try to do those things again. But at the same time, we told the guys yesterday in a team meeting, like, this year is going to look vastly different than last year. And we have to become the 2024 version of Haverford School and not chase what happened last year. Because if you do that, you know, you're just comparing yourself to something that's over, and you're wasting your time. So let's just, again, focus on what I think helped us be successful last year was just the leadership from our seniors and just the focus on getting better today, and not worrying too much about outcomes, you know, and if we can try to do that again and replicate that, I think we can have success, you know, and does that mean we go on an unbelievable win streak? Well, I mean, all the parents and boys would love that, but I don't know that it means that. It just means that if you do, great. And if you don't, well, guess what? We got a game coming up anyway. So let's get ready for it. And just kind of not getting too high, too low.
Love it. That was a fantastic answer. I'm kind of ready to suit up for you right here as we speak. Certainly. And so another one here for you to kind of keep this on sort of last year's program before we zoom in on this 2024 team, but only three losses, which at the beginning of the season, I think anybody that looks at your schedule, you'd pretty much sign up for that. You hope that those losses kind of fall on games that, you know, aren't league titles, but you only get as many wishes as you can, right? So yep. With that, though, those came to McDonough, Lawrenceville, and Malvern, who are three teams that currently this year I have slated in the top five nationally. What does it mean to you to kind of have those types of teams on the schedule year in and year out and, you know, be taking your talent and your team to challenge themselves to the best of that ability?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, right? Like, that's the one word I would use. It's like it's fun to prepare and to play the best and to try to beat the best, right? And so, you know, we want to compare ourselves to that every single year and challenge ourselves. And I think the best part about coaching is that it, each year is very different and it takes on a shape of its own, but the kind of the goals remain the same, right? Like, hey, we want to do our team goals here don't change very much from year to year as far as what we want to accomplish. It's just about, you know, how's this group gonna step up in those moments? And so we want to put them in those situations where they have opportunities to play great teams and great opponents and to challenge themselves, because it makes you better, right? And it's trying to win those games, but like we just talked about, like, it's also about the process and being our best in May, and just that's our goal as well. Like, let's just, you know, just keep plugging along and play the best and see how it goes, but also, you know, let's just make sure we continue to get better.
Certainly. And one key, I think, and this is our perfect kind of segue question, these guys were on the team last year, are back this year, much to the dismay of your opponents. But has there ever been a more face-off rich team in high school lacrosse history?
we're really lucky, honestly. I would say that. And I just, having Ben McCarthy and Griff Meyer, you know, just together is awesome. And so, you know, you feel confident going in any game that you're going to win some faceoffs, and at the same time, like, it's trying to balance that confidence too. It's like, don't just assume that, because, you know, the games that we did struggle in last year, we struggled sometimes with the faceoff acts. So I think, you know, you don't want to just rely on those guys, but it certainly is like a nice thing to have that you have, you know, those two guys, you know, that one are awesome teammates and they're great friends, and they honestly push each other to get better daily. And so, like, just the ability to have those guys work against each other on a daily basis, they're lucky. And we're lucky to be able to have, you know, those guys just out there on game day. It's I joke with some guys like, man, we got maybe a better face-off unit than some college teams just with the guys we have in there. And we're lucky to have it. So, yeah, it's great.
I wouldn't disagree with that for one single second. I think I'd take your pair against certainly a couple in a tag team match against several college rooms for sure.
Sure.
So the other thing here, as I kind of look at your team, just kind of from a whole, and this is another thing that as it comes to high school lacrosse, like is to me irreplaceable, and that's senior leadership. You mentioned kind of getting better on a daily basis. One thing that drives that home, you know, outside of coaching and coaches that are tuned into their programs and teams and have a good plan, is senior leadership, right? That like player driven motivation to make sure that those guys go out on top. And so for me, when I look at your squad, there's a ton of, you know, 2024s that are committed to high caliber programs, but also, you know, are, you know, going to places like, you know, Duke and Air Force and, you know, places that are just really held in high regard. What does it mean to have those kind of guys on your team leading the way and, you know, really embodying the elements that you would want from Haverford School seniors?
Yeah, I mean, it's you said it really, really on point there. I think it's like it is their team, you know, and as coaches, like we hold meetings and we talk about things at practice. But like, honestly, we're just around the guys from 3:30 in the afternoon till 6 o'clock at night. And then, you know, and I tell our seniors, I tell the whole team that like you're around each other in way other moments, that you have to be sending the same messages. Not just that we're sending, but like just kind of you got to lead this group. And whether that's in the hallways of the upper school, or it's in the cafeteria, or on the weekends, or at Chipotle, or whatever the heck it may be, like those are the guys that are like sending the right messages to the team. And they're doing it year long. And so it's not just a, hey, let's get to spring and, you know, your senior year and make sure that we are ready to go. It's like, no, let's start working on this, you know, last June, and which we did with that senior group, and really kind of empowering those guys to be like, we're going to go the way you lead us. And so, you know, there's some responsibility there and some challenges, but it's an awesome group of guys. All of them. I mean, they all bring something individually to the table that I think is unique to them. And it's also just not always the best guys too, right? Like as lacrosse players, it's the guys who just understand being on teams and, you know, are doing the dirty work and, you know, maybe not the featured player, but like someone who in practice every single day is just being super positive, or, you know, putting his arm around a younger guy and teaching him something. Like those little moments are invaluable. And, you know, these seniors, I think, are ready to, you know, continue that. It's been going on here for a long time, but also just to like write their own chapter of the book, you know, and it's their time and it's their team. So I'm excited to let them drive it and see where they take it.
Certainly. And with all that said, I think the next kind of progression in that is, you know, another thing that's a really important element, if I was to kind of build, you know, a team from scratch that was going to go compete at the top of the top in high school lacrosse, they'd be great facing off, they'd be great in the cage, and they'd be really, really good in the midfield, and they'd have a really deep senior class. So we've kind of touched on a few of those things. One thing that I'm ready to shift to is your midfield group. I think the two guys, when I watch your team, that just bring so much to the table are Jack Long and Connor Nolan. Two guys that, like we said, are committed to some high caliber programs. And like I said, when it comes to high school lacrosse, are just so important to, you know, own the middle of the field. What are two things or a few things that you kind of feel like those guys bring to the table, you know, for your team?
I mean, they're both really, really good players. They're two of our captains. And I think the best way I can describe them and the best like compliment I can give them is that they're lacrosse players, right? They're not offensive guys. They're not just defensive guys. Like they do everything. And you know, we're confident in them in any situation. So, you know, whether it's, hey, I need you to get a defensive stop, right? Like, hey, they can do that. If I need you to take a wing and a face off, they can do that. If I need you to go in a 6-on-6, run an offensive set, like they can do that. And I think that it's a testament to them as players, just how hard they've worked to become that type of player. And we certainly emphasize that, like, in our program, and try to reward that, that, like, you know, guys who are doing it all are guys who you can really rely on, you know. And I told our guys the first day of tryouts, if you want to impress us as a midfielder, go play some defense and show us you can do that. And you know, because if we get some stops and we can clear it, then hopefully we can score a few goals, right? So I think those two guys, though, provide that kind of do-it-all mentality. And they're also just really good leaders, right? They have so much energy. And, you know, like, you know, a guy like Connor, you want to, like, almost at times he's so going so hard, you want to, like, dial him back, just in, you're worried he's going to hurt himself in practice, just going running around like a maniac. But you'd rather have that than the other. And then Jack is just so poised and kind of, I don't want to say stoic, but he's like, he's just even keeled, you know, and he brings a lot of just, like, I think steadiness and confidence to our group, that, you know, both of them are, I think, really poised to have exciting years. So I'm excited to work with those guys. And the other guy who's a senior, you know, we have a couple senior midfielders, but Will Burfein provides a similar thing. Like, we, you know, he's a really, really good two-way middie, and, you know, really good offensively. Such a big size kid. And another guy who's been doing that early for us too is another senior who's just doing it a little bit of both ways, a kid named Jackson Riley, who's just a really good kid and a awesome teammate, but, like, it just buys into being a two-way guy and just doing whatever the team needs to do. And so all of those guys will have to play different roles throughout the year. Like, sometimes it might be Jack playing more defense in a game and clearing the ball, and you know, his offensive shifts are going to be, you know, on the tail end of playing defense, which, again, that helps us as a team. You know, same thing with Connor. But, like, they're all willing and able to do both, and also, you know, willing and able to let another guy do something else in that game because they're team guys, right? And so I'm excited to see those guys, all of them, kind of lead us in the middle of the field there. So it'd be great.
And you nailed the midfield. I was hoping to get to some questions on those guys, but you beat me to it, which is perfect because I will just shift right into the other position that I wanted to hit, and that was in the net, you know, between Kyle Morris and Brody Murphy, another position where you have two guys that, you know, really bring a lot to the table. How does that kind of manifest itself throughout, you know, the season?
Yeah, there's another guy there too that's playing really well. He's a junior, Colin Decker. And again, we're blessed to have the goalie room we have as well. It's just a great group of guys who, again, number one, push each other, but also two, care about each other. You know, Brody started last year, and played extremely well, and he's just super smooth and stoic and makes a lot of things look easy in the goal. And Kyle is a guy who played in games for us last year too. And again, they're competing, right? We're, you know, one of the things that I think is great in programs is, like, you got to compete to earn time, and you got to compete to keep playing, and you just got to be your best on a daily basis. And it can be a little anxious at times for the guys. But it's like those two in particular, you mentioned, in Kyle and Brody, and I'll throw Colin in there too. Like, they're supportive of each other. They want the other guy to do well. And they're not, like, just sitting there waiting for their opportunity and wishing that the guy in front of them doesn't play well, you know? And so, I don't know how it all plays out this year, honestly, Dan. It's so early on for us, and, you know, we're lucky to have that. So I'm excited to see kind of how it takes shape and how those guys step up and kind of replicate what they did last year.
And maybe Decker will come streaming out of nowhere and just take all the recognition and spotlight.
Exactly. I mean, if you ask him, man, he wants it. So that's it's exciting. It's exciting to have that group for sure.
And that's all the fun that lies ahead in the next, you know, 3-4 months here as the season really starts to unfold.
Yep, absolutely.
And so before we totally shift out of the 24 class and into the 25 class, where I have a few guys that I certainly have to ask about, The one person that I have left to hit is one that I'm sure you expected coming. That's attackman headed to Navy, Aiden Duraco. I feel like for me, he's one of the guys that, like, you could use the expression of straw that stirs the drink. How do you feel like that kind of manifests in, like, you know, what does he bring to the table for the offense?
Yeah, he does, again, similar to those middies, he does a little bit of everything for us. And I think, like, Aiden's obviously a really talented attackman. He can finish and score goals, but I think maybe his best skill is riding. And man, like I have not seen a guy work as hard in the ride as him in a little while. And he just kind of gets us going in that way. And you know, if you want to emphasize the process of becoming a really good team, like we emphasize riding a lot and just kind of say, if this is the standard, if you need to do that really well to play attack here, and then you'll give a chance to score goals, right? So he buys into that, and he certainly kind of gets us going down there. He plays with a tremendous amount of confidence, and he wants the ball, and he seeks like the big moment, to your point. Like he definitely like is excited to go out and do his thing, and kind of, you know, he's a little brash in a good way, you know? So really, really excited to see how he helps us get going. But we're lucky to have the guys we have there too. You know, the other guys have been playing great early on in the season. Brady O'Kane, scored a lot of goals for us last year. And I think is, you know, poised to have a really good senior season. Finn Lawrence has worked tremendously hard in the off season here and is playing really, really well early in the season. Evan Large is a junior attackman for us that is super talented and just kind of, similarly, you know, rides his tail off. And the great thing about that group that I just mentioned is that, like, they feed each other and they get each other going. Once one of them starts flying around on the field, like, the other guys start flying around, and it's just kind of a fun thing to watch. So excited to see those guys kind of leave it out there.
And Evan's Team 10 team is the one that I'm pretty familiar with and got to see a bunch of times over the course of the summer. So his game in particular, I feel pretty comfortable with. But to kind of shift to the other side of the ball and head to the 25 class, I feel like there are three guys that really complement each other well. You could say that, I mean, again, to use another one of those cliches, you kind of have the coach's dream of a trio defensively in Gavin Cooper, Charlie Halpert, and Kellen Gardner. Talk about kind of those guys, that junior class of defenders, and how they complement each other.
Yeah, they do. It is kind of, it's so again, we're very lucky to have it. But those guys are very complementary of each other. I would refer to, I think if you're putting a defense together, you got to have some cover guys. All three of those guys can cover. But you also have to have some glue to it and somebody who can kind of put pieces in the right place and communicate and get guys in the right spot. Charlie Halpert does that for us. He's kind of like our voice down there on the defensive end. And he's such a heady player and makes so many plays that go unnoticed, in games, because he's talking to another guy through a recovery or telling somebody where to be, that, you know, it's not him on the ball making the play, but it's him off the ball making the play. And so, but obviously, like, those three together with Kellen and Gavin, they're really good cover guys. I can, you know, we can match guys up, you know, in different spots based on how skilled those guys are and just how versatile they are too. Like, they can play in different spots. Gavin, can play up top. He can play behind the net. He can just kind of, you can put him anywhere on the field and he's find success. Last year, he did a little bit of everything for us where, you know, he was guarding a midfielder in one game because it was the right matchup for us. And then the next game he's guarding a next attackman because he could do that. And then Kellen, similarly, like you can move him around. I'd say probably a little bit more natural of a close defenseman. You know, compared to long pole, but all three of those guys provide some something special. And also, like, in that group, like, there's some other guys, like, last year who played for us a lot, a kid named Cam Esposito, who's a really, you know, another glue guy, right, who gets the ball off the ground, clears it, right, plays with a high IQ, can guard guys, can play up top, can play close, and you just kind of, you know, fill in spots in gaps that, like, you know, can open up, and we're just lucky to be able to have some moving parts down there.
And Cam is another guy that I was hoping to get into, along with just another general question along these lines is, you know, who's that uncommitted guy on your roster that coaches should be, you know, really looking for this spring to have kind of a breakout year?
Yeah, I mean, I that's a great question. I think there's a handful of guys, right? Like, I think, you know, Cam certainly is one of them. Like, what can he do to you know, what he does for our team, I think is really valuable. And he did it a lot last year as a sophomore. It's not like it's a, he didn't get much out. He played a lot. He played in a lot of big moments, and he was somebody who we relied on a lot. He's certainly one. I'm trying to think of some other. I mentioned Colin Decker in the goal. I think Colin is a really tremendous ball stopper and goaltender. And so, like, I think, like, people are going to be they're going to want to watch him, you know, this spring and summer for sure. I think those guys. There's another kid named Max Vertels who's a junior middie for us that is uncommitted, that I think has a tremendous amount of talent, and you know, I think is going to put some things together this spring too. So I'd say probably those three if I were thinking of those guys. But I think I'll go with that group probably.
Certainly. And so, kind of to start to wind things down a little bit here, we mentioned obviously that you guys are in, you know, a preseason phase here. Do you guys do like a early season team meeting where you'll set goals or anything like that? Like, what does the early parts of the preseason kind of look like for you guys?
Yeah, we do. I mean, obviously, like this past weekend for us was kind of like tryout mode. And, you know, we host a kind of 3-day tryout for the guys. And, you know, and again, you tell them each year, like, you got to go earn it. Right. And so that's what this is. And so this week for us is kind of about putting some pieces in the right places and, you know, figuring out what it's all going to look like come this spring and moving people around a little bit. So, you know, we'll do that, you know, this week and kind of have some of those meetings. But I mentioned to you before, like, if the goals really don't change year to year, it's like, hey, we want to be a nationally competitive lacrosse program. And try to compete at the highest level, and we want to win the Interac, you know? And so, like, those are the things that we're shooting for, any year. And so I know our guys would tell you that, like, that's what they're fired up to do. And that's what they want to go try to accomplish. But I do think, like, you know, when you have the senior class that we have, you got to give them some opportunity to set their own goals. And so there's other things that we'll talk about this week and next week as we kind of get into our first game, and say, all right, like, what do you want to do, and where do you want to take this thing, and let's put some specifics behind it, you know, not just in like statistical categories, but like, you know, what type of team do we want to become, and that sort of thing, and you know, what are we going to value as a group, and all right, let's go measure those things and set some goals behind them and go from there.
All right, Coach Dawson, thank you so much for joining the IL Preps podcast. This was incredible. I look forward to checking this team out all season. When do you guys officially kick off?
We play Loyola Blakefield on March 7th here at home. So we're excited to host those guys. So it'll be fun.
March 7th with Loyola. All right. I very much so looking forward to catching you guys all season long, but I will certainly be ready to have that debut marked in my calendar.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for your time, Dan.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.